Prayer is about asking for things you don't deserve, that we may receive mercy. The word mercy means God meeting you in your misery and find grace to help. God gives help in prayer in time of need. You're going to have needs. All of this tells us what prayer is. It also shows us what prayer isn't. Prayer isn't mystical or magical. Prayer isn't like, I'll send good vibes your way. There's no such thing as vibes, all right? There's no sending vibes. There's no receiving vibes. Vibes are nothing. Prayer is not energy enhancing. Prayer does nothing to a spiritual aura or glow or any of that. Spirit, prayer is not mystical or magical. Prayer is relational. It's you and God getting to know each other, and God as a father answering his child. If I had to sum up what prayer is simply, prayer is simply friendship with God. That's what it is. Maybe you've been taught it's more or less than that, but prayer is basically friendship with God. Prayer is not merit-based. You don't earn God's answers to prayer. Prayer and good works are not like you acting like a puppy doing tricks so then you can get a treat thrown your way. Oh, look at how good I am at this, and then God throws you a treat. You don't merit your way up to answered prayers. In fact, the whole point of prayer is you'll never deserve the answers God's giving you. It's grace. And prayer is the way for you to process all of the hurts and pains of this life. I like what Ravi Zacharias says. He says, if you are a praying Christian, your faith in God is carrying you through both the good times and the hard times. However, if you are not a praying person, you are carrying your faith. And you are trying to make your faith work for you apart from your source of power. And trying to carry the infinite is very exhausting. If you're not praying, I like that, you're trying to carry the infinite. If you're praying, your faith is carrying you. So let's pray. Well, then how do we do it? Jot this down. Pray in Jesus' name alone. Pray in Jesus' name alone. It says we have a great high priest, verse 14, who passed through the heavens. Jesus passed into heaven on his own merit. There is only one who is worthy of entering heaven, who is good enough to go to heaven, and that's Jesus. And it says, through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. There is only one who is the eternal Son of God. All of God's children are adopted but one. Jesus is eternally one with the Father, and he has an unbroken bond. You and I need to be adopted in. We need to be welcomed into the family through faith, not Jesus. He is the only Son of God who shares the nature of the Father. Jesus is the Son of God. It says in verse 15, for we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. So the point there is, Jesus walked the earth as a human, 100% man, but he was without sin. He was 100% God. Verse 16, let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jesus is both priest and king in heaven right now. So drawing near to the throne of grace happens by drawing near to the great high priest and king of heaven, Jesus Christ. Therefore, our prayer can be in Jesus' name alone. Only Jesus grants us access to God, and only Jesus has the authority to speak to God on your behalf in the highest realm. Jesus alone can hear your prayers, and the Father only accepts your prayers in Jesus' name. Now, I don't know about you, but I was raised with a Catholic background, and so they taught us a lot about prayer that simply is not biblical. And when it comes to prayer, you have to understand one thing. You have to understand that we only pray to the Father through one name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you ever reach for another name in your prayers, it's because fundamentally you don't agree with the Bible on what it says about Jesus. If you agree that Jesus is alone the great high priest and king of heaven, you don't need anyone else to try and say anything for you to God. The Son is enough. The king is enough. The priest is enough. And when you reach for any other name, you're immediately diminishing the truth about Jesus Christ. You're saying he can't get it done, and therefore he needs help. And I'm challenging you, if you've never done this before, to commit in your heart to only ever exclusively pray in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no other name given among men by which we must be saved. Only pray in the name of Jesus Christ, believing that he is who the Bible says he is. Pray in Jesus' name alone. Jot this down. Because he is heaven's high priest. He is heaven's high priest. He passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God. When you think of a great high priest, maybe like me, you did have priests growing up, so you kind of understand that. Maybe you didn't. This isn't talking about priests in churches today. High priests were in Israel in the Old Testament. And here's a picture of the tabernacle. In Moses' day, they set up the tabernacle. And the whole camp of the Israelites would form a circle around this tent, and they would camp. But then the priests would set up the tabernacle. And the whole idea of the tabernacle was to show God's people, look, you can't come into God's presence unmediated. You need someone to stand between you and God and to resolve the tension that's there between you and him. So you can see the altar where they offered sacrifices, but then the inner tent contained the holy place, and then the most holy place was the inner tent. That's where the Ark of the Covenant was. Now, only the high priest got to go into the Holy of Holies, and he only got to go in there one time a year. And there were all of these regulations about what he had to do. And if he messed it up, God would strike him dead. And no one could go in after him. So they had a little rope attached to him so they could just drag him out if he blew it. Right? Little bells were on him so they could hear if he's still alive. Everything about the tabernacle was meant to show you, you can't get into God's presence. There needs to be sacrifices for your sin. And even then, you can't go into the very inner court. So then Jesus comes along. And he offers as the Lamb of God himself, as a sacrifice to end all sacrifices. And his blood was shed at the cross. Then, when he ascended to heaven, the curtain was torn. When he died on the cross, the gap was bridged between you and God. The curtain was torn, and the way into God's holiest presence was open to you and me. And it's not just the earthly presence that was open. It's God's holy, heavenly presence that is now open to you and me. That could not have happened unless Jesus was your great high holy priest. If Jesus is your high priest, you have access into heaven. If you trust any other name or person to try and get you in, you're going to fail. Jesus is heaven's high priest. Now it says in chapter 5, verse 1, for every high priest chosen from among men is appointed to act on behalf of men in relation to God. So that's what the high priest did, acted on behalf of people. To offer gifts and sacrifices for sins, and that's what Jesus did. He offered his life. He can deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since he himself is beset with weakness. Because of this, he is obligated to offer sacrifice for his own sins, just as he does for those of the people. So now you're seeing how Jesus is a different kind of high priest. He didn't have to offer sacrifice for his sin because he was sinless. And no one takes this honor for himself, but only when called by God, just as Aaron was. So also, Christ did not exalt himself to be made a high priest, but was appointed by him who said to him, you are my son, today I have begotten you. As he says in another place, you are a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek. So what's happening here is it's showing how in the Old Testament, God set the world up to expect someone who would be both king and priest, like Melchizedek. King and priest. And that's who Jesus was. But this person couldn't just show up and be like, behold, I'm here. God had to be the one to give them that honor. And so God did. God gave Jesus the highest honor in heaven to make him the high priest and king. So let me ask you this. Is Jesus your high priest? Have you ever prayed to Jesus and said, in the name of my great high priest in heaven, Jesus Christ? Maybe given your background in the Catholic Church, like me, you know, you don't like the thought of there being a priest, but that's who Jesus is. He is the great, high, holy priest of heaven. And because of that, you can talk to him as if he can truly intercede for you in heaven. Jot this down. Pray in Jesus' name alone because he can help with sin, weakness, and suffering. That's the description of the high priests here. They help. High priests were appointed to help with sacrifices and sins, with their weaknesses, and they understood. It said here they could deal gently with the ignorant and wayward, since they're beset with weakness. This is why Christ came down, to become the perfect great high priest for you and me, having walked in our shoes and having lived in our world. It made him the fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies. He can help. He can help with sin. He can help with weakness. He can help with suffering. Maybe you're wondering if God cares, if God knows what you're going through. Hey, it's clear here that Jesus, like every high priest, knows what life is like, knows that life is hard, and he can help. And he's welcoming you to pray and to receive that help. When it comes to how the priest does what he does, he deals gently with the flock. You don't have to come in and be like, you know, afraid. He deals gently with your sins. He deals gently with your weaknesses and with your suffering. So the question, who do we pray to? Christ alone. What do we pray about? Anything. And how are you doing at praying for your needs? It says that the high priest can help with your sin. Do you know that when you sin, you have to pray and ask for forgiveness? Do you know that? Even if you're a Christian, you still have to pray and ask God for forgiveness. Some of the fundamentals of the faith are say you're sorry and tell the truth. Say you're sorry to God. God, I'm sorry. That's confession, or that's repentance. Tell the truth. That's confession. And if you can't say you're sorry to God and others when you have sinned, then you can't repent. And if you can't tell the truth about what you've done to God and to others, then you can't confess. And if you can't repent and you can't confess, then you can't pray. And prayer is all about asking Jesus to fix your sin problem. Jesus can also take your weaknesses. Cast all of your cares on him, all of your anxieties, because he cares for you. Bring it all. And you can also pray during times of suffering. And maybe that can be relationally when there's conflict, or that can be when physically there's health problems. But pray about your suffering. Pray about your sin. Pray about your weakness. God's asking for you to talk to him about all of this. When it comes to sickness, I want to highlight this for a moment. God is a great listener, and he tells us in the Bible how he hears us. One of the ways he hears us is your private prayer. Another way is you get other people to pray for you too. Another way is you fast and pray. And there's another way, and that's where you ask the elders to pray for you and to anoint you with oil. That comes from James chapter 5. Now listen, when you really want to get a message through to somebody here on earth, when you really need to talk to somebody about something and you keep trying to get a hold of them and to get you to listen to them, that's called blowing up their phone, right? She's blowing up my phone, right? Blowing up the ding, 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 Facebook message. Somebody's tweeting me. Somebody's sending me an email. Now I'm getting a call. Now I'm getting FaceTime, right? We know what it's like to just be all over someone to try and get their attention. Well, if you want to know what it means to blow up heaven's phone, right, you can't just be like, well, I'm just going to pray alone. Nope. You've got to get other people to pray for you too. And you've got to fast. And you've got to get other people to fast for you. And if you really want to ring the bell up there, especially when it's dealing with a physical problem, like you're dealing with something physically, like you're sick, you ask the elders to pray for you and to anoint you with oil. We've done that in the past, and a few people have been talking to me about that this week. And so our elders talked, and we thought, well, I'm preaching on prayer. We might as well do that. So after the service today, our elders are going to be down front, and they will pray for you if you're dealing with like a physical sickness and you want to seek healing, and they will anoint you with oil. Now, there's a lot of abuse of this theology in the church when you see faith healers on TV, all right? The oil comes from like Jewel, all right? It's not like from the Holy Land. So don't be like, the oil. No, no. The elders are just as sinful as you, so don't be like, the elder. No, no. God's word said, ask your elders to pray for you and anoint you with oil. Okay, and it's as simple as that. Okay, I'm seeking healing, and I want my elders to pray for me. See, there were miracles and healings in the Bible, but God's word made a provision, so you don't have to go out there and run after a healer. In your church, ask your elders to pray and anoint you with oil. That's God's plan for you. Now, that doesn't mean that he's going to guarantee you a healing. Healings are very rare. But it does mean that God is going to hear you. It does mean that he will heal people, and it does mean that the situation will take a very different turn if your pattern is to pray throughout your time of needing physical wellness. So I'm inviting you today to take advantage of that at the end of the service. Let's pray. Pray in Jesus' name alone, because he is heaven's high priest, because he can help with sin, with weakness, and with suffering. Hey, are you blowing up heaven's phone? Or are you just worrying? Number two, jot this down. Pray like Jesus. Pray like Jesus. The Bible doesn't just tell us to pray to him. The Bible says to pray like him. So it says in verse 7, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. It says here in verse 7, Jesus prayed. Now, why on earth would Jesus need to pray? He could just look at a storm and be like, weather change now. You know, he could look at the Weather Channel app in the morning and be like, nope. He had all power, but because he stepped down in submission to the Father, there was so much that the Father wanted to do through prayer that Jesus knew he had to pray to fulfill God's will for his life. Goodness, if Jesus, who had all power, had to pray, how much more do you need to pray? How much more do I need to pray? Pray like Jesus. How did Jesus pray? Well, jot this down. Jesus prayed loudly and tearfully. It says, loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him. Loud cries. So my wife and I went to the Chicago Christian football game on Friday night. And the other team started to play dirty. They were taking late shots. They were celebrating in the end zone. And the parents were starting to loudly cry out to the field, where's the flag? We're at Christian school, so, you know, they kept it clean. But where's the flag? Late hit. That's a live ball. Shouting down to the field when rules were being broken. Hey, are you shouting up to heaven when rules are being, where's the flag? I need an appeal. Challenge. Listen, hell fights back and never fights fair. So there's so much in your life where you're going to be like, why isn't that play under review? Look up and raise your voice. Do you get more animated when you're watching your kids play sports than you do when you're talking to God about their faith and their life? Where's your volume? Jesus prayed loudly. Now you might be like, oh, I could never talk to my heavenly Father that way. Jesus did. I could just imagine you standing next to Jesus while he's shouting and crying, and you're being like, you talk to your Father with that voice? Like, you know better than him how to relate to the Father. All right, if he gets emotionally worked up and animated, where's your heart? Where's your heart? Do you see how a lame prayer life is really unChrist-like? Bless these chicken nuggets. They ain't blessed. Okay. If you're just praying for food, if you're at the I pray for food level of prayer, it's time to up it. All right? Jesus prayed loudly and Jesus prayed tearfully. And that highlights how throughout history, the church has talked about how does prayer work and what is it. And there's two basic modes of prayer that people struggle with. Some people are like, well, prayer is basically resting in God's sovereign will. And it is. Prayer is resting in the reality that God is sovereign and he has everything under control. So people will say, look, God has a perfect plan. He has everything under control. You can trust him. There are verses that say that, right? There are verses that say, do not be anxious about nothing. Couldn't it just say a few things? Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Peace. Peace. Here's a picture of a very restful place, a very peaceful place. I'd go there. I'd stay there. I'd sleep there. Prayer is that, but it's not only that. Prayer is not just resting in the reality that God is in perfect control and you can trust him. Prayer is also a wrestling. Here's a picture of wrestling. That's prayer too. Prayer is, biblically, prayer is a, what's going on, Lord? Open your eyes, Lord. Hear me, Lord. Prayer is wrestling for God to send down a blessing. Prayer is asking for the situation to change immediately and drastically. Jacob wrestled with God. Jacob wrestled with God and prevailed. Give me my blessing. And maybe you're somebody who struggles with the resting side, and you need to learn how to go into God's presence and to just rest and to say, I trust that you are in perfect control of the situation. But maybe you struggle with wrestling. Maybe you go into God's presence and you're only resting. Well, God, I trust you still, and I don't even need anything from you, and you just do whatever you're going to do. Hey, where's the fight? That's not a biblical prayer life when all you're doing is asking nothing of God. That's not a biblical prayer life. You have to understand how prayer works. And Jesus is a model for us. He prayed loudly and tearfully. Tim Keller, in his book about prayer, says this: Jesus Christ taught his disciples to pray, healed people with prayer, denounced the corruption of the temple worship, and said it should be a house of prayer. He insisted that some demons could be cast out only through prayer. He prayed often and regularly with fervent cries and tears, and sometimes all night long. The Holy Spirit came upon him and anointed him as he was praying. And he was transfigured with the divine glory as he prayed. When he faced his greatest crisis, he did so with prayer. We hear him praying for his disciples in the church on the night before he was crucified, and then petitioning God in agony in the Garden of Gethsemane. Finally, he died praying. Father, forgive them, and into your hands I commit my spirit. Jesus lived and died praying. Do you want to be more like Jesus? Do you? Pray. Pray. Pray loudly. Raise your voice to God. Wait till everyone leaves the house and let heaven hear it. Pray tearfully. Rest and wrestle in prayer. Jot this down. Pray like Jesus. Suffer and wait like Jesus. It says in verse 8, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. This means God didn't immediately say yes to all Jesus' prayers. This means God didn't keep all pain and suffering away from Christ. And guess what? God's will for you is bigger than you getting all the goodies. God's will for you is bigger than he just saying, okay, to everything, and I'll take all of your pain away, and I'll give you everything you need right now. That's not how a loving father... Try that with your kids for a week. Give them everything they ask for. Everything. And see how that goes. He's a good father. He wants you to learn obedience, and he wants you to learn to trust him. That's why pain comes our way. God's got a purpose for your pain, and so in prayer, you have to be able to suffer and wait just like Jesus. Are you struggling right now with the silence of God? Are you wondering why God isn't answering you? Is that bothering you? Do you know somebody who has a really loud voice? I mean, like a loud voice. Like, you wouldn't go to the movie theater with this person because you know that they just... Do you know somebody like that? I know some people like that. Do you know some people like that where even when they're trying to talk quietly, they can't? Do you know people like that? Am I the only one? Do you know people who are just very loud people? Some of you are very loud people. I won't name names. But there are very awesome people who come throughout the week and serve and do things. And I know when they're in the building, no matter where I am. I can hear them because they're very loud people. God is louder than that person. God is a very loud person. When God speaks, stars come into existence. When God speaks, mountains tremble and thunder roars. When God speaks, the dead come back to life. God is loud. So when God is quiet, there's a reason. Listen with great expectation when God gets quiet. Only a mighty motive could silence the voice that called forth creation. His silence is deafening. His silence is divine. It won't last for long. He will answer you. But will you wait for him? Will you trust him? Suffer and wait like Jesus. Tim Keller also says this, prayer requires and produces humility. Nobody likes to wait, and so therefore prayer requires humility. You have to humbly wait, but it also produces humility. I'm waiting. Prayer requires and produces humility. That's the point. And Jesus is our great role model. What a friend we have in Jesus. All our sins and griefs to bear. What a privilege to carry everything to God in prayer. Oh, what peace we often forfeit. Oh, what needless pain we bear. All because we do not carry everything to God in prayer. Are you praying? Are you praying like Jesus? Sometimes people have pieces missing of their prayer life, and then they lose heart. Here's an illustration I've used before. It's called the prayer gears. I preached two whole sermons on these before, but the five big components of prayer mentioned in the Bible are, first, boldness. Are you praying wimpy, puny prayers? I mean, listen, if God answered all of your prayers last week, would the world be any different? Would anything change? Are you asking for mountains to move? And then are you praying confidently? God makes it clear, pray believing you have already received what you asked for. That's not a blanket promise that you will receive it all. That is the way you're supposed to wait, with confidence that we have a God who says yes. I know you're not going to say yes if you can do a little something, but I understand if you don't. Hey, where's your confidence? Where's your confidence? And that humility. Too often Christians run right to that one, and that's the only gear spinning in their prayer life. Not my will, but yours be done. I don't want anything but what you want. You do whatever you have designed. If humility is the only gear spinning in your prayer life, you're not praying biblically. Love is another one. You got to have your relationships in order, love for God and love for others, or it hinders your prayers. And then persistence, ask, seek, knock, ask, seek, knock, never give up. Keep asking. Are any of those gears missing from your prayer life? Pray like Jesus. He prayed loudly and tearfully. Suffer and wait like Jesus. And then jot this down. God will hear and answer you in glory. It says in verse 9, although he was a son, he learned obedience through what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. And what that means is not that Jesus was imperfect. It's not like Jesus came down here and he had to add perfection to himself. Jesus was eternally God, one with God. He added humanity to himself. So being perfect meant he was fulfilling God's purpose as predicted in the Old Testament. Jesus became the one who fulfilled the law. Jesus died on the cross and fulfilled the need for a perfect sacrifice. Jesus ascended into heaven and was installed as high priest and king. So it's not like he was like leveling up throughout his life and then finally he graduated and became the Messiah. He was perfect. He was Lord at thy birth. Jesus, Lord at thy birth. But he fulfilled all of that through his life, and then God installed him as the king of heaven and earth. So that's what it means when Jesus was becoming that Messiah he was promised to be. Being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him. So Jesus is your source of eternal salvation. And I would ask you this. Have you ever prayed and asked Jesus to save you? It's through prayer that you access the grace that is found in Christ alone. And sometimes I talk to people and I say, well, do you think you're going to heaven? Have you prayed to receive Jesus as Savior? And they say, oh yeah, I pray every night. And I'm like, no, this isn't an every night prayer. This is a once in a lifetime prayer. This is a I surrender all. I confess that I'm sinful, broken, beyond repair, hopeless, and hellbound, and I want Jesus to change that right now. Have you been saved? Have you prayed and asked Jesus to save you? Eternal salvation is found in Christ alone. Being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. He's king and priest. That's what Melchizedek was when he met Abraham. He was both king and priest. No other priest was allowed to be king. But the first one mentioned in the Bible was. That's what makes Jesus special. He's both. And it says here that God heard him in verse 7, who was able to save him from death, and he was heard because of his reverence. Here's what this is saying, folks. Easter was an answer to Jesus' prayer. When Easter happened, it was because God said amen to Jesus' prayers. Save me from my enemies. Deliver me from the grave. Raise me up. God said yes. And when you realize that God answered all of Christ's prayers, you'll realize that he will hear you and answer you in glory. What a mistake it would be to look at the life of Christ and to be like, that's not for me. Turn the other cheek. Look where that got him. Look where that got him. I'm going to take care of things myself. I mean, look. Where did it get him? He's the high priest and king of heaven. That's where it got him. And that's where it will get you to heaven. God will answer all of your prayers. He will lift you up out of all of your troubles and deliver you safely into his kingdom. It's going to happen. In Jesus, all of your greatest longings are yes and amen. Yes. You need to wait. Some of your prayers will be answered on the other side of glory, but our God said yes to everything we need in Christ. So we're asking for lesser things in this life, and God loves to say yes to those things too. But are you willing to wait? I like what Jonathan Edwards said in one of his sermons. Our bad things will turn out for good. Our good things can never be taken away from us. And the best things are yet to come. Do you believe that? And are you praying as if that's true? God wants you to pray. He wants us to be a church that prays. And when we pray loudly, tearfully, patiently, our friendship with God will grow like it's never grown before. Hey, are you ready to get your prayer life in gear? Are you ready to ask God to answer you from heaven? Are you ready to wait patiently while he responds? One of the ways you can do that is we sent out a prayer, fall prayer guide. We emailed this out too as an attachment, but we had them at the Welcome Center too. But hey, have you made your way through this? Our staff is crossing off the ones we've been through, 31 days of prayer. Let's be a church that prays together in our small groups. Hey, do you come forward for prayer after a hard week? I love when I hear our small group leaders sometimes say to people in their group, hey, why aren't you going up front for prayer for that? I don't know. Sometimes people come up to me in the gym. I'm drinking coffee and they're like, pray for me. And then they give me the reason why. And I'm like, did you come forward for prayer? No. Why? I don't know. Well, get back in there. There are people right there. I'm eating a cookie. And I'm going to get it on you if I pray for you. There are people right up here waiting for you. Do you come forward for prayer? I love it. Once there was one small group leader who, someone in their group was every week they're asking for prayer, and that small group leader said, I want you to go up front for prayer every week for the next month. I like that. Homework. Go up forward for prayer. And today, you can come forward for prayer, and our elders are going to be up here. And if you are in particular dealing with a physical illness and you want to pray for healing, then you can confidently, boldly, remember, lovingly, consist, all those gears apply to that, right? Pray for healing. And our elders can anoint you with oil and just pray for you to be healed. And then you just leave that. After you blow up the phone in heaven, you can just leave that with God. But we are willing to do that with you today. But we're going to be available to pray with you, and I'd love for this to be a turning point in your prayer life. I'd love for this to be the week that God finally gets that prayer life of yours on fire, and I'd love for this to be the time when your faith really catches fire because God hears you and answers your prayer. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now. I'm going to invite the worship team up, and I'm going to give you a chance to just talk to God. That's all prayer is. Prayer is just talking to God. And I'm going to give you a chance to talk to God privately in the quiet of your own heart for a minute. And then I'm going to pray too. But it's so powerful to just get still, to just get with God, to just talk to him, to tell him all of what you're thinking, all of what you're feeling. It's so powerful to just be quiet in God's presence. And maybe that's what you came to hear today. Maybe you have just not been giving God your full attention. And maybe you need to carve out some time this week to do that. But right now, we're going to just give you a minute to talk to God privately about whatever it is that's on your heart. Jesus, I pray that you would hear the prayers of your people. And I pray that you would call us to our knees this week. Only you can speak on our behalf in heaven. Lord, I remember when I was new in the faith and I asked, what can prayer do? And after walking with you for so many years, I ask now, what can't prayer do? We believe that with God, all things are possible. So hear our prayers and hear our cries and hear our tears. And this week, I pray that there would be some who raise their voice in prayer to you, just like Jesus. As we cry out to you, may our friendship with you grow. We pray that you would be glorified in your church as you respond from your throne with mercy. We pray this in Jesus' name. Thank you.